Hello, and thank you for downloading another episode of Your Life Simplified. My name is Brian Leitner, and I'll be the host of this episode. Today's episode is near and dear to many of us. It's about watching television, some of our favorite shows. And I don't know that there's anybody listening today that says they're paying too little for cable. Cable costs a lot of money, but there are a variety of different options that a lot of people may not be aware of, where they can still watch their favorite shows without paying their cable company some of these exorbitant fees. There are other options. So on today's show, we have Brian Cavanaugh from Free TV, and his company helps people cut the cord, frees them from the chains of cable so they can go ahead and watch the shows they want, the movies they want, the sports they want, without paying some of these exorbitant cable fees. So Brian, thanks for joining us today on the show.
Yeah, Brian, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So Brian, you run an organization called Free TV, and that's TV spelled T-V-E-E, and you're based in Colorado. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this type of business?
Sure. I've always enjoyed electronics and technology, and you know, I'm a fairly frugal person. I actually worked for US West, Quest, CenturyLink for 13 years, and we sold DirecTV service, and you know, I just got kind of tired of the whole corporate thing, and you know, just didn't really approve of kind of the culture there internally, and then certainly externally, you know, it was a bit challenging to see customers getting charged so much every month, and at the same time, you know, even though we were trying to provide good customer service, it just never seemed to work out just because of the corporate culture. So, you know, it's one of these things where I started looking at things and I'm like, why do people do this? You know, it doesn't make any sense that people are getting ripped off yet treated terribly at the same time. I mean, like the pay TV industry has the worst customer service marks in any industry, basically. Why would people put themselves through that? And I think a vast majority of the population doesn't necessarily enjoy the high bills and the terrible customer service, but it's a monopoly in essence. You know, it's Dish, DirecTV, Comcast, depending on where you live, Xfinity. And what I noticed quickly after kind of doing some research and such was really it kind of came down to two things. One, I think there's a general lack of education. People are either too busy or they just don't have the tech know-how. Or there's just not enough good information out there for them to figure out what their alternatives are. And things have changed a lot. You know, I started this business, Free TV, 8.5 years ago, and there really wasn't any options, barely, basically an antenna that got you some channels. Nowadays, it's almost the opposite problem. It's kind of a hot, confusing mess where there's almost way too many options to cut the cord, which is good in some respects, but, you know, bad in others. So
Brian, from your definition, I mean, what does it mean to truly cut the cord? What does that mean in your world?
Well, I think the really short version is cord cutting is really about freeing yourself from, you know, expensive cable and satellite bundles and just going for a different alternative of much less expensive and a lot of times free and much more flexible TV alternatives. That's kind of the short version.
Okay. And so you just referenced that it has been a monopoly for many years, but things have changed at this point. So you also mentioned that there's a lot of confusion that's out there. And so let's unpack that just a little bit. So Brian, as I sit back and I listen to what you're saying, you're absolutely right. I feel like I pay too much for cable. I really don't know what my options are. So if I was someone that's interested in pursuing this cutting the cord, what process would I go through? I might meet or speak to someone like yourself. What are some of the first steps as I evaluate if this is something that I might want to do? Because I absolutely would love to save money on my cable bill. I just don't know what the trade-offs are. I don't know what the process is. I don't know what I don't know. So where do you start with someone such as myself?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think the most important thing to keep in mind is that even though we've been programmed from, you know, traditional cable and satellite over the years, that everybody's kind of the same. And here's your $200 bundle for, you know, 200 channels a month. Really, that's the advantage of cord cutting, or one of the major advantages is it actually caters to your individual specific needs. So I think the probably the most important thing to kind of start with is as a family, you know, sit down and say, okay, like here's the shows we really care about. Do we need to have a DVR? Do we not care about that? Do we just watch live TV? You know, it's kind of some of those general questions to start. And the more flexible you are, the more you can save, I would say, you know, the more requirements you have, not that it's not possible. I mean, pretty much, you know, 98% of the cable channels are available nowadays separately. There's a lot of free options that are great. I mean, so pretty much anything is doable nowadays. It really just varies from situation to situation. And obviously everybody's different, even though, like I said before, for some reason with cable and satellite, we've kind of sacrificed that notion, just like we've sacrificed customer service and sacrificed, you know, our wallet to them every month as well. So
cord cutting can provide not only hopefully better customer service, but a more individualized and tailored TV viewing experience, if you will. And from the statistics that I've read just before this podcast, the amount of cord cutters is growing at an unbelievably rapid rate. And it's for the reasons that you talked about, right? Price, the ability to tailor, and those types of things. So Brian, as it relates to saving money, can you give us a couple of examples of maybe some of the folks you've worked with, the amount of money that they've been able to save as it relates to switching?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as I said before, everybody's situation is different, obviously, but I would say you could have somebody on the real basic, you know, spectrum where they, you know, are paying $150 a month for, you know, a bundle or what have you from Xfinity, and they just want local network channels live. Well, literally, it's just as simple as an antenna. Most cases, indoor antennas, even though that's the really easy way out, you know, we recommend doing it the right way and installing like an attic or an outdoor antenna. But that antenna is going to get you live TV. It's going to get you all your major networks. Believe it or not, it's actually better HD quality at the same time. So you're literally losing nothing and saving a whole bunch of money. I mean, you could easily be saving probably right around $100 a month just for that scenario.
And it's clearly not the same antennas that I had when I was a kid.
Correct. Yeah. Things have changed. you know, they've gotten, you know, I don't know if you remember the whole digital transition that happened, you know, 10 years ago or so. And then actually in a lot of markets, they're rolling out 4K, believe it or not. So, you know, it's already better in all the markets than cable, satellite, doesn't matter what you have because it's uncompressed. But it's about to get even better because 4K is coming for free. So literally the same wow. antenna, 4K, as long as you have a 4K TV, obviously, or some sort of, you know, tuner to tune in 4K. But anyway, that's kind of one scenario with the antenna. And we're big proponents of an antenna because literally it's free forever. And you actually get not just your major networks in awesome HD, but you usually get anywhere from 30 to even up to 70, you know, digital channels as well that play a whole bunch of great stuff. You know, so it's pretty amazing what you can get for free. And then,
so that's incredible. To your point, you're not paying a monthly fee on that. So you pay a one time, maybe there's an installation fee, obviously, but I mean, what do these antennas generally go for?
Well, you know, I think honestly, there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's places online that are unscrupulous and they just want to take your money and go hide. And they sell an antenna that's, you know, $50 and they say it's going to get cable channels and it's going to work from, you know, the middle of the valley in the mountains from 500 miles away from the tower, which is, you know, totally ridiculous. But, you know, most people, if they get an indoor antenna, they're paying anywhere from $20 to $50. The problem is, we don't really recommend that because you have to put an indoor antenna on every TV in your house in most cases. And then more important than that is just reception, you know, sure. Putting it higher and putting it outside, you're just going to get much, much better reception. So unless you're okay with having channels break up on you from time to time or missing channels, most places it's going to be pretty tough to have an indoor antenna working all the TVs in your house with, you know, any type of reliability at least. So
what does that outside antenna run?
It runs usually somewhere around $100 plus minus, kind of depends on the situation. There's different antennas. I would recommend just getting it professionally installed at the end of the day, quite frankly, because I mean, safety reasons for getting on your roof and doing it right. I mean, it's no different than me hiring a plumber. You know, you got to have the right tools and the time and the know-how and all the rest of it to kind of bring it together right. And
yeah, to your point, though, it pays for itself within the first month. I mean, depending upon what your current situation is. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, worst case scenario, even if you hired an antenna installer to do it right, like your return on investment is going to be like 2-3 months probably. So kind of a no-brainer.
And doing it with that outside antenna, you just need one for the entire house, regardless of how many TVs you have. Is that accurate?
Precisely. Yeah. So it's there's different ways to do it. You know, there's wireless solutions that we use that are great. But and it also makes it easier because it builds in like a grid guide and DVR and such. But the traditional way is just it rides in the coax that's already in your house. So that one antenna can control everything and you can watch different things at different times. Literally, that's great. You know, you're not cluttering up your house with indoor antennas, but at the end of the day, unless you're okay with missing channels or having a breakup in the middle of your show, just do it right. That's the main reason you do an outdoor and attic antenna.
You bet. So Brian, is the antenna local only or how does that work?
Yeah, for the most part, it's mainly about your major network channels in HD. And then there's, you know, some other channels on there that have a lot of great stuff, but no cable channels.
So obviously a lot of families, a lot of listeners, you know, they like some of their movie channels. They like sports. So how do they gain access to that by cutting the cord?
Really, up until about 3 years ago, there wasn't really any other options to get cable channels. I think the big game changer, honestly, for most people in cutting the cord is they got Netflix, you know, so Netflix has been around for a while. It's streaming and people are amazed that they're paying $10 a month and they're watching like at least half of their TV on Netflix. It's on demand. It's commercial free. They can cancel whenever they want. So it's all these things that cable and satellite couldn't provide to them. And then they go back and they look at their cable bill for $200 a month and they say, well, I'm watching this like less than 50% of the time. Yet I'm paying $200 a month. It, you know, the math just doesn't add up. So that's kind of what gets them going down the cord cutting path, quite frankly, is I think that value proposition. But to answer your question, yes, you need cable channels. Most people need cable channels at least certain times of the year. Perfect example is March Madness. So up until 3 years ago, you would be, you know, out of luck. You'd have to get cable and satellite. Nowadays, 98% of the cable channels are available separately via streaming services. So that's kind of the second source for TV is streaming. Obviously, you have your things like Netflix and Amazon Prime, which are great. YouTube, things like that, that, you know, that's all my son really cares about anyway. But the other thing that's really on there nowadays is cable channels. So similar to Netflix and Prime, it's streaming, but it's literally the same stuff you have right now, live, on demand, DVR, whatever you want for any cable channel. They're kind of like skinny bundles. And they range in price from $16 to $25 to $35 to $45, you know, dollars a month. They give you the top 30, 40, 50, 60 cable channels. And the nice thing about those is, one, it's the same exact stuff. It's just a lot less expensive. But more important than that, I think, is the flexibility, because March Madness right now, you could actually subscribe to one of these packages for $25 a month and have every single March Madness game for $25 a month off of that service, cancel whenever you want. So you could get it for a month and then dump it.
It's incredible. I mean, the amount of flexibility, the amount that it can be tailored to you and your family. Like I said, there are a lot of people that are cutting the cord on a daily basis, but I'm just still surprised that when I walk around the office and I ask people about cord cutting, you know, the majority of people still haven't done it yet. And I just, to your point, I think it's just because of the misinformation that's out there.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, you know, it's not like Comcast is going to tell you about, hey, there's a lot better, cheaper way to do this, right? I mean, it's just the monopoly that is Comcast and Dish and DirecTV. I mean, they want to keep things on the down low, obviously. There's not a lot of information out there that's good. And even the stuff that is out there, there's a lot of misinformation. And I think the other piece of it, honestly, is it is confusing for a lot of folks, you know, because there's so many options nowadays. Like I said, when I started this 8.5 years ago, it was just an antenna. That was pretty much your only option. Nowadays, there's the opposite problem where there's just way too many options. So trying to bring it together in an easy to use fashion and then having the time and the technical know-how to kind of set it up and put it all together and actually make it so that, you know, your wife isn't making you sleep on the couch because she's so frustrated because it's difficult to use. You know, that's that's probably the key, really.
So again, this sounds great. And anytime something sounds really great, it just causes me to have concerns. So let me ask you, I mean, what are the sacrifices? What don't we know?
Probably the biggest sacrifice that some people would say, I mean, again, everybody's situation's different, is in some markets, you can't get certain channels, i.e. like regional sports. Like for instance, here in Denver, where we're located now, you know, you can get every single Broncos game for free off of an HD antenna. You can get all the major sports on all the local networks for free off of an antenna. you can get, you know, ESPN and FS1 and FS2 and NBC Sports and, you know, pretty much NBA TV, TNT, TBS. But Altitude and AT&T Sports for right now in this market, you can't get. Now, for most of our customers, most people that cut the cord, that's not really a big deal because you can listen to it on the radio. You can go to the games with all the money you're saving. You can hit the restaurant, whatever. You know, it's not really a game changer for most people that cut the cord. But yeah, I mean, it is a little different. There are sacrifices. I think most people realize that if I'm saving $100, $150 a month, I can make a sacrifice. So, you know, it's just a personal decision. In our market, people just have to decide, can I live without those two channels? Especially knowing that, like, the Nuggets are actually doing good right now. And, like, last week I watched 3 Denver Nuggets games just on regular, you know, streaming TV, you know, without having to worry about it being on Altitude or AT&T. So, again, in the streaming realm is where the cable channels are at. And there's, you know, either skinny bundles or, you know, some of the channels are a la carte. All the premium movie channels are a la carte. So it's just like a Netflix, Amazon Prime type of thing where it's not just live. It's the same exact stuff. It's live, it's on demand, commercial free, whenever you want. So you're more in control. That's really what it is with cord cutting anyway, right? You're more in control of what you want to watch, when and where you want to watch it, but you're also in control of your budget too, and cancel whenever you want. So the HBOs and the Showtimes and Stars and everything like that, literally, you know, you're just paying $15 a month for HBO or $10, you know, for Showtime or $8 for Stars, and just keep it for a month, binge watch all your shows just like Netflix, and then cancel it.
Such a great idea. Thanks again for downloading this episode of Your Life Simplified, which is produced by Mariner Wealth Advisors. And at Mariner Wealth Advisors, we're here to serve as your advocate. We help people chart a course to reach their personal and financial goals so that they can have greater peace of mind that may lead to a more fulfilling life. We do this by always putting our clients first. Because as fiduciaries, we're required to provide guidance that's in the best interest of clients, not in the best interest of a company or shareholders or anyone else. So as you listen to this podcast and have questions about maybe your own financial situation, or would simply like a second opinion, or even you have an idea for a future podcast, please go ahead and email us at podcast@marinerwealthadvisors.com. If you found the information on this podcast valuable, please go ahead and share it with a friend or family member that you think might benefit from this information. And please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening. And now back to the episode. So the streaming services that you mentioned, I think a lot of us are familiar with those. But as we think about some of the different skinny bundles that are out there and the fact that there's maybe a lot more that I'm going to do over the internet rather than the traditional cable lines, is there anything I need to know about from a technology perspective? Obviously, with the antenna, I need a quality antenna, not some cheap, flimsy something or another that's just not going to work out. But what about from a, you know, bandwidth requirements? Any tips you have there that would potentially improve the viewing experience?
Yeah, I would say, first off, you know, you kind of need to figure out where you're at. Kind of the first question you asked about, you know, what channels do we care about as a family and, you know, what services do we need? If all you care about is local network channels, you don't even need internet. You could just get an antenna. Most people are going to have internet, obviously. You're going to want Netflix. You need internet just for life in general to work and, you know, surf the internet and such. I would say that Netflix, you can get away with like 10 or 20 megabits per second speed-wise. If you're streaming something more high bandwidth intensive, like live TV, like for instance, a Philo or a Sling TV or Sony View, things like that, you're going to want probably a minimum of 20, more like 40 megabits per second. But here's the thing. Comcast is always going to try to sell you on more speed than most families really need, because you call in, say, hey, I'm having troubles with my Netflix. It's not streaming. They don't want to tell you that it's the modem and router that they're renting you for $13 a month because they just bought it refurbished for like 50 bucks because that sounds bad. They want to get more money out of you. So they're going to say, oh no, you need more speed. You need more speed.
Of course.
Really, that's not the case. I mean, we have probably at least half of our customers, probably more like 2/3, 3/4 of them that have the base Comcast speed, and literally they stream anything, live TV, doesn't matter. It's, you know, fine for most normal scenarios. Every situation is different, obviously, but that's kind of the case in general.
a great couple of tips there, understanding that you need some really good technology as it relates to what's happening out there. And if you do, you may be able to save some money, again, going through your internet provider and not necessarily going for the top package, if you will, with the top download speed.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing that's kind of some misinformation too, and just things to keep in mind generally when you're cutting the cord is, I call it bundle BS when you get in with Comcast and they say, oh, no, it's cheaper. You need to have the phone and the TV and the internet bundle. You know, it's really not the case. I mean, you can get basic internet for like $40, $50 a month. Tax on internet's less than a dollar or right around that. So that's how you truly control your bill. All the extra fees and taxes are really on phone and TV. So when you chop those out and you go a la carte, like we're talking, or you get an antenna for free TV, that's really where the savings comes in. And I think the other thing to kind of consider when you're doing that is you can keep renting that substandard modem router from obviously your cable and satellite provider, or your internet provider, I should say. Or, you know, for most of our customers, we recommend just buying your own stuff. One, it's going to be much better quality. And then two, you're saving anywhere from $10 to $15 or soon to be $20 a month. You know, the prices never go down. They only go up, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a great tip.
And honestly, the more people that cut the cord, the more your prices are going to go up because they're paying the same thing for content, you know, every month. And the less customers they have, you know, cable and satellite just last year alone lost 2.5 million customers. So the customers that are stuck there are forced to carry these, you know, retransmission fees from the different channels that come across cable.
Sure.
And those prices aren't going down. They're only going up. So guess who's paying for it? Same thing if you watch sports or you don't watch sports, you're paying for everybody else that watches sports. I mean, you've probably seen these other sneaky fees where you've called into Comcast and they say, oh, we're reducing your bill. And then, you know, a month or two later, you notice, well, bill's not reduced. It's actually gone up. It's because the broadcast TV fee increased and the sports TV fee increased and the box fee increased and everything else. You know, it's all the little games that people have obviously gotten sick of over the years.
Yeah, the fees are interesting in the way in which they charge because it seems like every day I get something in the mail that says, you know, switch over to this cable provider or we're running a promo or something of that nature. And they don't reward customers for staying with them for a while. So you end up having people flip to save X amount of dollars a year and they flip back and forth. And to your point, it goes along with the poor customer service. But as it relates to customer service, if something goes wrong on my TV today, if something goes wrong on my cable today, obviously I can call up Time Warner, I can call up Xfinity. What happens if something happens while I'm trying to watch TV via the satellite? I mean, who do I call? What does tech support look like in that case?
Well, I mean, it depends on how you're hooking it up, I guess. If you're hiring an antenna installer, you know, for instance, somebody like us, you know, we do a lot of different things, obviously, not just antennas, but we help people cut the cord and save money. And there's lots of ways to do that. And everybody's situation is different. But if you've paid to have an antenna installed, if the installer is worth their salt, they'll, you know, guarantee their service just like we do. So for us, we guarantee our service because we know what we're doing. We've been doing this for 8.5 years, so we do it right. You know, we have very few callbacks. And quite frankly, we got nothing but 5-star reviews all over the place for a reason. You know, one, we care about what we're doing. But two, you know, we've tested every antenna. We've tested every DVR. We've tested every streaming service, every streaming stick. You know, I mean, that's just what you learn over time, right? Is what works and what doesn't work. And you do what works. And, you know, at the end of the day, when I created this business, I wanted to create a culture that was the opposite of cable and satellite. You know, I don't agree with how they gouge their customers and treat them terribly and have the inflexibility. So we do the exact opposite of that with everything we do. That's our company culture. And that's what's most important to us. Now, on the flip of that, if you have installed a cheap indoor antenna yourself, then yeah, chances are you're probably going to pay the price and you might be in the middle of your favorite game and it's breaking up on you. And, you know, it's kind of more on yourself. If you DIY it to set it up originally, guess what? Your support is DIY as well. You know, there's not really anybody that can help you out. Now, there are some streaming services and they have 800 numbers or, you know, they have kind of a email chat line or things like that. So it's not all doom and gloom. I mean, there's plenty of support out there. It's just more fragmented, I would say, is maybe a decent way to put it.
Brian, this conversation has been great. You know, as I indicated a couple of times earlier, it's a growing trend, and it's still surprising that everybody hasn't flipped the switch or cut the cord in this case. So what advice would you give our listeners to take that first step to see if they're interested in doing this?
Well, I think like we started out with, I mean, the first thing is to sit down with your family and kind of realistically plot out, like, what channels do we really need to have? you know, that's probably the best place to start. And then, you know, I mean, you could hit up our website, freetvee.com, so 8 letters. And, you know, there's a lot of good resources on there. We have an FAQ section. I mean, honestly, cord cutting's not for everybody. You know, like we don't want to force people into cutting the cord, you know, if it doesn't make sense for them. Now, I would say that as time goes on, pretty much I rarely talk to people anymore that cord cutting doesn't make sense for them, because there's just so many options and it's all customizable and flexible to kind of meet their needs. It is a bit challenging to kind of DIY it. I mean, obviously, if you're in the Denver Front Range area, that's great. We can help you. We are looking to expand into other markets, so we'll be able to help in other markets as well, hopefully soon. But as of right now, it's probably going to be somewhat piecemeal, and you're going to have to kind of DIY some of this stuff and, you know, probably deal with some sacrifices unless, you know, you get lucky and can find somebody like us, which I don't know that there is anybody like us, honestly. It's really kind of varies by situation, but I think just starting with figuring out what it is, what channels you really need, and then also figuring out, okay, going to our website, kind of checking things out there, that'll give you kind of a good baseline. And, you know, really it's going to be based on your situation. If all you need is local channels, then an antenna is great. Piece of cake, no brainer. The more complex you get with needing a whole bunch of cable channels and like, I can't live without this specific channel, it's all doable. But then you have to have different hardware to kind of bring it all together and make it easy to use. And, you know, certainly that's what we do, you know, all day, every day. But DIY and that stuff can be, you know, certainly a little tricky depending on your situation.
It's all excellent. It's really great advice. Again, it's a growing trend that you guys are obviously in front of. And we look forward to your expansion plans and what that ultimately looks like as we have listeners across the country. So, Brian, before I let you go, as we wrap up here, we ask all of our guests the same question. And that question is, what is the worst financial decision you've ever made?
Well, I would say probably paying for cable and satellite 15 years ago. you know, now I know better, obviously. And fortunately, I have a business that helps other people know, you know, figure out that knowledge as well. So
problem solved.
There you go. Problem solved. At the end of the day, I would encourage people to kind of investigate and do some research and, you know, give it a try. I mean, heck, you're paying $150, $250, $300 a month. You know, what do you have to lose, right? You know, the average cord cutter is literally easily going to save $100 a month, probably right around $1,500 a year on average. So, I mean, you kind of figure out what you can do with that money. I mean, Brian, I'll let you kind of take that one. You guys know what to do with the money, right?
Yeah, we've got plenty of options, plenty of other places to save that, put that away for something that's more meaningful, especially when you, again, when you're comparing product A versus product A, if you will. It's the same thing. Why not save the money? So
exactly.
Brian, I want to thank you again for your time and insight. Greatly appreciate it. So thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So there you have it. Another episode of Your Life Simplified. We really hope that this information is valuable to you and you got a lot out of it. As always, if you have suggestions or questions for future podcasts, please go ahead and email us at podcast@MarinerWealthAdvisors.com.
Mariner LLC, doing business as Mariner Wealth Advisors, or MWA, is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Registration of an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. MWA is in compliance with the current notice filing requirements imposed upon registered investment advisors by those states in which MWA maintains clients. MWA may only transact business in those states in which a notice has been filed or qualifies for an exemption or exclusion from notice filing requirements. Any subsequent direct communication by MWA with a prospective client shall be conducted by a representative that is either registered or qualifies for an exemption or exclusion from registration in the state where the prospective client resides. For additional information about MWA, including fees and services, please contact MWA or refer to the Investment Advisor Public Disclosure website at www.advisorinfo.sec.gov. Please read the disclosure statement carefully before you invest or send money.